Look at chapter 8 of Hebrews, verse 7. If the first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. So there is a need for a new covenant. First covenant had been faultless. In other words, if it had solved all the problems, if it had saved and redeemed and changed you, resurrected you and planted life in you and rescued you and delivered you, we wouldn't need another covenant. But said it, we needed a covenant. Now look what happened to that covenant. Not the blessing of the covenant. Verse 13, same chapter. In that he said the new covenant, he made the first old. That which decayeth and waxes old is ready to vanish away. Now look how that happened in Matthew 5. This covenant, the old covenant, was fulfilled. It was completed. It served its purpose. These are the words of Jesus, very important. He said, verse 17, think not that I'm come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. And when Jesus came, the perfect righteous Son of God, and fulfilled the covenant and died, then that covenant was finished. We didn't need the old covenant. We need it still for an example. But it doesn't save. And it didn't save them. Now, turn to Jeremiah 31. I don't have my numbers together today to save your life. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Jeremiah 31. Verse 31, behold, the days come, says the Lord, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. There comes a day when this covenant, preserving the righteous line, keeping the people in line with God's will and wishes, that comes a day that's over. Jesus is going to fulfill that. That's finished. I'm going to make a new covenant. Not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, which kind of covenant they broke, although I was a husband unto them, says the Lord. See, husband is a word of covenant. It's not a word of contract. It's a word of covenant. A husband gives everything he owns, everything he has for his wife, and a wife gives everything that she has. And when it's not a giving marriage, it's a contract marriage, and it is going to fail down the line somewhere. Or they're just going to live and tolerate one another. This shall be the covenant I'll make with the house of Israel after those days. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts. I'll be their God and they shall be my people. Is that amazing? They shall teach no man his every man his neighbor, every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me. That's very important. From the least of them unto the greatest of them, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity. I will remember their sin no more. There's coming a new covenant, a covenant that's going to be different than the old covenant, a covenant that's going to make everybody who comes into that covenant brand new. Instead of we have the tablets of stone with the law written and the priests and a multitude of high priests. In the old covenant, there's the law. It has many prongs and many fingers. And we have a multitude of priests. And Hebrews tells us those priests are going to die. New priests come, and another new priest. But in this new covenant, you're going to have the law in your heart. God's going to do a heart work. He's going to do an inward work. He's going to do it by the Spirit, going to plant His life and His nature in you. And it's going to be so different. See, if they wanted to know anything, they had to go to the priest or to the prophet and ask. When Saul's daddy's donkeys got lost, he sent Saul out to find the donkeys, and he looked everywhere and couldn't find them. And his servant that was with him said, we better go and asked the prophet. They did not have any way of knowing God, knowing things. See, so the new covenant, Hebrews 8 says this is going to be better. And what's going to be better is that you're going to be changed and I'm going to be changed. And therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. That's the first thing. We're going to be a new creature. We're going to have eternal life. And eternal life doesn't mean to live forever. A sinner's going to live forever, but he doesn't have eternal life. It means to have the life of the eternal one. I want to have a new nature and have the very life and nature of God. And the Holy Spirit that was only came upon the prophet, priest, and king of the old covenant is going to now live resident in me and is going to lead me. Romans 8:14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, I will become a son of God. I will be led. Well, that's better, isn't it? In other words, I don't have to ask you. I don't have to find a priest. I don't have to find a preacher. And it's in a multitude of counselors, there wanteth not sin. So counsel is very important. We're not minimizing counsel. But first of all, you have access, direct access to God. And Jesus is the high priest. We don't have a multitude of high priests. Now, the other thing we don't have a multitude of sacrifices. Since they sacrifice daily, over and over and over again, Jesus is the one sacrifice. We have one sacrifice. Eternal life, we're new creatures, we are now the temple.